things, first of all, thank you for making this a great Christmas season as a church. Everything from the kids club, Saturday, to our Christmas party, to Christmas Sunday, last Sunday, to our phenomenal Christmas Eve service. It was and that takes effort. As Donna so nicely said, it takes people and a team to put all that together. And you see, you know, the continuation of Christmas Eve with all of the Joe and John did, the candles and the lights, and just a fantastic Christmas season. We are thankful. We wrote the thank you notes as a family. We are very grateful for our church family. And we don't know what to do without you as our church family, but also just you as a church family. There are a lot of people this Christmas season who are living without a church family. As was stated in Sunday school, church family is for a purpose. And so that we can hug on each other, love on each other, and take care of each other, and support each other. And as a church, we've kind of decided we're going to do things a little different, which is that we're not going to be all about all these big corporate things, which have their value. We're going to do those things, we're going to do them well. But we're going to be about realizing that as individuals, we all have ministry. And we're all doing things outside of the corporate that we need help with. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, this is phenomenal. And I wish and I can't wait for the day where every single person in this church has one of these new bulletins, where you are telling us how we can pray for you and what you're up to, not maybe a day-to-day basis, all right, but on a basis of, hey, here's how we can come up alongside you. You know how to come up alongside Bruce and Pam. All you have to do is read this. Not right this second, read it. But when you get home, read this. Put it somewhere. It used to be the refrigerator. But wherever it is that you put things that you're actually going to look at, you need this. But I can't wait until every one of our homes has a stack of these, about 25, 30, 40, 50 deep, that tell us how we can better pray for you. So go home, look at this, think about it, and then make one up and give it to Joe. So that Joe can put it in the bulletin. It doesn't have to be super detailed, like I said, but what it does need to do is tell us how we can help you. With that in mind, let me promo something that I am extremely excited about. Multiple things that I'm excited about. The first one is this, that in 2 weeks, so this, not this Sunday night, because this is still 2018, not next Sunday night, because you should all be at a hymn sing supporting the Evans Church. But the following, which is like the 13th or something like that, at Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we are going to team up with Justin and Alyssa. Justin and Alyssa are going to start a Sunday evening offering. It is not a Lithium Community Church offering, which means I'm not overseeing it, nor is anybody else. They are part of our family, and they're starting an offering. I'm excited about it. You should be excited for them about it. This is not a you need to be here every Sunday. This is a you need to pray about whether or not you need to be here. But we get to team up with the members of our church and get to help them in ministry, just like we are with Pam and Bruce, just like you do with Bruce and me, just like you do with multiple people. I'm excited about that. Because it's exactly what we said we want to do. Right? That we want to team up with our people, helping them accomplish what they feel God is telling them to do. Right? Now it's going to be different in nature because you are, you know, just going to be different in nature. Right? But it's just going to be different. But it's going to be Justin and Alyssa giving their offering to the Lord. And so we're excited about that. We need to promote that as a church. You should look for things in the bulletin, for time and that kind of stuff. But here's what you really want to do. Because apparently Justin did get the memo about making one of these. Right? But Patty, if you would have made one of these, and it would be in the bulletin, which I'm expecting that by now he's got the date that it should be there for next Sunday. Right? That'll have all the details. But better than that, you should be asking Justin what they're doing, and you should be asking Pam and Bruce about what they're doing. That will be really important in the next hour after I'm done talking to you. That you can spend with that. Right? Ask what is it that you're doing. But in general, I'm excited because I was thinking this week about all kinds of different things, but people starting new things. Right? The fact that this is a new year, usually this Sunday is spent with me reviewing all the great things that we've done as a church and getting you like, oh, hey, here's where God showed up and all of those kind of things, and I'm just not going to do that this Sunday. But that's the norm on this Sunday, right? So I said to you, and I do want a response, please. And if you're on Facebook, you can just type it, which never happens, but somebody should do it just like for me wrong. Right? If I said 2018, what's the very first thing that comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? When I say 2018, you think what?
Sleep.
Sleep. Sleep's good. What? Nobody else thinks anything.
No.
Just wedding.
More
stuff.
Yeah.
Flying.
Yeah.
Flying.
Wait,
do you
think just tell me. What comes to mind in 2018?
Ben's injuries.
There you go. Work. Work.
Sky's wedding.
There you go. See, it's amazing that normally we are so conditioned to think, aren't we? Now, through things that we want to evaluate, like what's appropriate to say in church and what's not. But the truth of the matter is that when I say 2018, something should pop into your mind. Right? Something that probably changed your world for a little bit. Right? Something that was probably monumental in the fact that while everybody else's world continued on, yours may have stopped for a second. I was talking about that last time we had the opportunity to go over and play some games with some friends. And it was a phenomenal thing. Partly because I actually won one game with Dotsie, but partly because it was just getting to communicate. But we were talking in the midst of that about this very thing. But the fact that there are moments in life where life for you stops. It just halts. It grinds to a halt. Right? So whether that's retirement, whether that's a change in job that isn't from retirement, whether that's a change in relationships with people, whether that's the finding out a name of a disease or a sickness or something that enters your life, whether that's something that happens with your children, or whatever it is, you all know that there are moments that just happen like this, right out of the blue, where all of a sudden life just stops and changes for you. But here's the problem. It doesn't necessarily stop and change for everyone. So there are moments in 2018 where your life changed, but everybody else keeps moving. And so guess what happens? We get this gap theory, right? This idea that where life is moving on for other people, but it stopped for me for some reason. Or it can work the opposite. There are moments in 2018 where life seemed to be enhanced greatly. Right, all of a sudden, like I'm on this fast track. I've been waiting, all of a sudden God, like boom, 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 boom. And my whole entire life changed. Not because something bad happened, because good things happened. That job promotion, right? A wedding, right? Kids come into our family. Right? Changes happen, and it happens really quickly because of good things. But for whatever reason, 2018 probably didn't go as you and I have planned. You see, if you remember in January, when you were sitting down and you were thinking about your 2018 and all the things that you wanted to accomplish and what you wanted to happen, it's probably more likely than not that at the end of 2018, you're looking and going, there's a gap between what I thought would happen and what really happened. I want to show you a story of that. And Bruce stole it from me this morning, so if you're in some sense, you already heard it. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 15, and I want you to just relive with me the story of the lost son and the prodigal son. And it says, starting in verse 11, this: there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share, right, of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth and wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. I want to stop right there, and I want you to get this. This young man's 2018 started this way. Hey, Dad, I have a plan for my life, a plan that will make me prosper, a plan that will have me doing what I want to do, a plan that will make me happy, a plan that will do all these things, right? And so he goes to his dad and he says, "Hey, Dad, help me with my plan. Give me what's mine. I don't want to earn it. I just want you to give me something. Help me make my plan." Now we look at that and go, "What a selfish, terrible person." Right? I mean, who raised that kid? That's a terrible kid. Where he goes to his dad and says, "Hey, give me what you've worked for, but I want it. Like, it's mine." And then we realize that probably somewhere in 2018, you and I have done the same thing to God, have we not? "Hey, God, you have all these resources, you have all this stuff, and I have this plan, and you fulfill my plan." Which includes, don't let me be sick, don't let me stub my toe, don't let me have any people who are mad at me, don't let my boss ever tell me I'm not doing a bad or a good job, God, you make this happen, give me what's mine. I've got this idea of who God is, and you fulfill it. And you make it happen right now. But the problem with that is that as we go through our 2018, God says, "Okay, go ahead, go, do it your way." What happens? It starts out great. All plans start out great. You understand that, right? The first step in all plans is really good. It's brilliant. You start out by mutually selling to somebody else your great, brilliant plan. And they say, "That's a great, brilliant plan." And you're like, "Step one, it's easy. Hey, I got this idea. Would you like to join me?" And so he had friends who did what? Joined him. Why? Because it was exciting. Why? Because he had the resources. Why? Because they were willing to live off of him. And we've all experienced that somewhere in 2018, haven't we? People come alive and join our plan. Why? Because we're selling this. Great. Man, I got a plan to exercise well in 2018. I got a plan to dress well. Listen, here's what I figured out. Nobody remembers how we started out 2018. There's no person in this church that knows whether I wore a tie the first Sunday in 2018 or not. But you will all remember that I wore a tie the last fall. And it has swords on it. That's why I wear it. Right? Everybody will remember that, "Hey, you actually dressed like a pastor on the last Sunday in 2018. But you're not going to remember whether Andy dressed like in the first one. You have no idea whether I did or not. But it's very helpful, right? So the concept is people remember, right, how things ended up. That's where I want to go with that. And so we look at this story and we say, here's the deal. This guy, Glenn, started off at the beginning off really, really well. Right? It started off well. He had everything he needed to fulfill his plan, but then something happens. You see, as we decide that we're going to do it our way, we're going to fulfill our plan, we're going to make it happen, and God, right, he doesn't follow after us like a little puppy dog saying, "Okay, here you go. Now God stands at the end of the driveway and says, "When you decide to come back, I'll be here waiting." Great. But you got to decide to come back, and so he lets the son go off, just like he'll allow you and I to follow our plan. You do it your way if that's what you need to do. You do it your way. But at some point, things are going to start to do what? Go bad. Things start to go bad, and what happens? The young man becomes in need. So let me ask you about your 2018. Where are the moments that you became in need? Where's the moment that you needed somebody else to help fulfill your plan in some way, right? Your God, it's no longer about I have the ability to make this happen. Where are the relationships that you couldn't fix? Right? Where's the work things that you couldn't just make happen? Where's the bank account that you couldn't fill? Right? Where are the things that you couldn't make happen? It started out well in 2018. Right? But by the time you're midway through, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks in, you just can't make that happen. I'm going to love better, but I can't seem to make it happen. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be gentler. I'm going to be more decisive. I'm going to be stronger in nature. I'm going to do more in devotion. I'm going to do all these things. But sooner or later, your strength does what? Runs out, doesn't it? And that's where, ladies and gentlemen, our Bible says that's where God steps in. When your strength is gone, then what? That's where I step in and work. Because if you can do it, why would God do this? If you can make it happen, why would God need to make it happen? Now, let me make this real clear. It is important to have a plan. I like this plan, right? I like the plan that's on this side for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Right? Oh, and even Sunday. I like the plan. But the truth is that if they can make it happen, where's the need for God? You see, the need for God is in asking us to pray. Like, here's our plan. Here's what we would think. Here's what we want it to be about. But you know what? We understand that God needs to be in this. So you pray about this, and hopefully God and I have set up, we figured out the plan together. But ultimately, God's always going to throw in little things that are going to make us have to what? Need him. Right? And so here's what happened. The man, he needs a need. Goes on to say this. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed his pigs, not a place where Jewish people go. So the worst of the worst things happened. First, he had actually work. Then he got a job that no Jewish people were going to do. So he is at the bottom of the bottom, right? And he realizes things. In line with the stomach, with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything at all, and all ran out. All of his good fortune, all of his good luck, all of his goodwill, nobody was coming to do what? To bail him out. I bet somewhere in 2018, there's a moment where you and I have been in that same place. Where we're looking around and we're longing for something. But nobody came to the rescue. Nobody's helping. You see, we have this idea that if once we get to that moment, God just comes in and he rescues. And God just, he's just going to fix everything. We preach that, by the way, in church. Man, when you get to the bottom of the bottom, that's when God's going to come and rescue you. I'd like you to know that God did not come and rescue him in the midnight. Rarely does God come and rescue you in the pig pen and say, hey, I'll just keep helping you out. You just keep saying the pig pen and I'll help you out. Because God doesn't want you in the pig pen. God doesn't want you in the bad places of life. And so he isn't going to fill your stomach with pods when he has no desire for you to be there. Listen, that doesn't mean that God isn't in the bad moments, that God isn't there to help us and comfort us, but something happens, and here's what happens. Look at this in verse 17. It says this, when he came to his senses, right? When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, and he went to his father. So check this out. The original plan was what? Hey, Father, give me all of your half a month of the stuff that you have. Let me go out. Let me do it my way. And here's what happens. When he finally came to his senses. Did you have that 2018 moment? Is there a moment in 2018 where you finally came to your senses and you realized what? Not where you were. You realized who God is. See, this man realized what? Who his father was. He realized that his father treated people what? Well. He treated his servants well. And so he came up with a new plan. And the plan was based on not himself and what he could do. And his plan, the plan was based on his father. He knew who his father was. See, somewhere hopefully in 2018, you realized who your heavenly father is. Somewhere along the line, trying to figure it all out and get it all right and make it all work out, somewhere along the line, hopefully you realize, I can't do this on my own. And you come to your senses and you realize not who you are, that helps, by the way, but you realize more importantly, who your father is. My father is this way. This is who he is. And so therefore, I can go back to him and I can do what? I can put myself at his feet and say, Father, I know who you are. And so here's what I would like to do. I just want to say, I I want you to serve as long as I can. Serve you. I want you to notice that this conversation happened out loud in a big house. You see, there's something about spoken word. There's something about us speaking out loud, not just thinking it, but there's something about you and I, when we finally speak out loud, you know what, I need help. And I don't know about you, but being a guy, and I hear it's a guy thing, not a woman thing, but it's a guy thing, asking for help, right? Asking for directions. And so somewhere along the line, this kid gets it, and he says, what? Ask for help. I need help. He speaks it out loud. The Bible says that, man, the spoken word is important. What you speak is important, not just to other people, but to yourself. It's important. And so once he speak out loud, who his father is, what his father is like. Hopefully in 2018 you've done that. That somewhere along the line you have that moment where you've spoken to yourself, not just to other people like me. Because I've told you over and over, there are things that I preach that I absolutely believe for you. But I'm the exception to the rule. Right? And so it's important for us to remind people and ourselves who God really is. He does that. He speaks life into his life. And he comes up with a whole plan, which is, I'm going to just tell my father this. Now, look at how this ends up. But while he was what? Still a long way off, which means what? His father was waiting for him. His father was looking for him. He didn't just let him go off. He was looking for the return. That's what God promises you and I. That whenever we get off track, he's looking for us. He's actively pursuing your return. That's what he wants from you and I. So you can take your claim, you get off track, and God doesn't stand at the gate with a big humongous sword or stick, right, and wait for your return. No, God is, he's waiting like this. Because it goes on and it says, he saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. So let me explain to you what probably has happened in 2018. Somewhere along the line, you told somebody exactly what they've done to you and exactly what you think of them. Is that not a true thing? Somewhere in the last year, you have told somebody exactly how they hurt you. And exactly what they owe you, right? And exactly what they did to this church, to your family, to your workplace, to you told them. Because that's what we do. And yet this father, he doesn't do that. What's he do? He kisses. So imagine that. If in 2018, rather than tell that person exactly what you thought of them and exactly what they did to you, imagine if you greeted them with a kiss. Imagine if your heart and mind were actually filled with what? Compassion. See, over and over in the Gospels, Jesus, it says he had compassion. He had compassion. He looked at the people, and his heart broke for them. He looked at the situation, and rather than seeing the situation, what did he see? The person. This sermon would be completely needless if you all had been in Sunday school this morning, because that's exactly the message that was preached in Sunday school this morning. And listen, we're supposed to be a family, a church family, that goes beyond what's been done and gets to what? The person. Man, that is if I have a philosophy, that is it. Right there. Relationship. Get past what people have done and get to the people who have done it. Get there. And the quicker you can get there, the quicker you can do good things. And this father, he got there really quick. It doesn't matter. He didn't bring the son in and said, here's the list of what you've done wrong. I've been in meetings where that happens. Actually, I've been with my wife where I've done that. Right? Here's what I have against you, which really fits in with the whole no record of wrongs, love, doesn't it? Right? I said, I preach what I believe, and then I did. Other stuff. That's the problem. And God knows that we love stuff. He's praying for us living up stuff. He knows that you may believe it up here, but it's hard to put into action. So when you give that opportunity to have compassion on your wife on your kids, on your workplace employee people, right? The people in this church, when you're given that opportunity, all we can see is what? What they've done. Let me give you a practical example for a bill under the bus, right? Pretty much everybody knows that the bill was not here at 10 o'clock. At 10:10, I'm on the phone calling him because I'm very concerned about the roads and stuff because Mr. Don Hocus made me very concerned about that. Right? So I'm very passionate about, you know, what's up with Bill. Why it's like when he walks in the door and you look at him, and everybody in this church knows that Bill is what?
Sick.
And immediately, any concerns about being late are gone. Why? Because if you have any kind of human compassion, you'll look at Bill and you'll say, he's got his head on his daughter's shoulder. He's trying really hard to stay awake. Right? He's sick. He doesn't feel well. And so we can have compassion. Now, does that mean, does that mean that being late is acceptable?
Yes.
No! It is not acceptable for anybody to be late to this church, ever. It's not acceptable, especially if you live right across the street. You should not be late. What is acceptable, Bill? Bill is who we love. Bill is what is important. Bill's safety, Bill's health is what
across the street.
When you add that to that, the fact that he's had a long Christmas break, right, taking care of family, then you go look at that and you say, hey, you know what, I got great compassion for them. That's what I'm talking about. It does not excuse. We think that by loving Bill, we're going to excuse lateness. Now, I'm only using this because Bill loves me and he's going to forgive me for it. But that's the whole point. We think that if we're gentle on Bill, that somehow we're condoning, we're condoning lateness. What we're condoning is Bill. We love Bill. That's exactly what happened. Did the Father condone everything the Son had been doing? Did he put a stamp of approval and say, hey, everything you did out there, including the big pen stuff, was all okay? No. He didn't condone that. And over we see Jesus with people in the Gospels. He's with people that the other people said he shouldn't be with. Was he condoning prostitution? Was he condoning all kinds of other stuff? No. Why? Because he loved people in compassion. That's what happens. Let me wrap this whole thing up for you. Up on the screen, you can see some verses. And this whole title is called Selective Forgetfulness. See, here's the deal. The prodigal father's son came home, right? So the son came home to the father. Did the father forget everything that had been done? No, because he says that later on to the older son. Right? Listen, here's the deal. But here's what does happen. And Jesus has this ability to do something that I'm telling you need to do for 2018. Here's some verses that say that. And Jeremiah, hopefully, says this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. Right? It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because we will all know him. Right? From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Does it sound like God has forgotten what they did? Does it sound like God doesn't know what the people of Israel have done to him? You've done these things, right? But here's what's going to happen. When you turn back to me, a day is coming when you aren't going to just know about me. I love this verse. If you write verses down, you should write this verse down, this whole passage, because it says in there that there's a bunch of people that know God up here, right? But there's going to come a day when you what? You actually know me. You know me here. Listen, in church today, there are lots of people who know of God. But if you want to get compassion for the people sitting around you, the only way you can do that is to know God. You got to know God. And that's what God says, that there's going to come a time when you're actually going to know him. And here's what's going to happen. I have selective forgetfulness. I'm going to forget what I already know. On purpose, I'm going to choose to forget. You see, it's not that God forgot. It's he chooses to live as if he's forgotten. I tell you guys that all the time. I'm not asking you to forget what people have done to you. That's ridiculous. You're going to remember. I tell you every word story ever, right? I don't forget what people have done to me. Here's what I have to try to do, which I don't do a good job of, but I'm working on it. I'm going to live like I forgot. I'm going to try to treat each toll worker with the respect that I want them to treat me with, regardless of what happened the last time. And the last time, and the last time.
Every time.
Every time. That's right. I'm going to do that. Jesus says a few more things. God tells us what? He blocks out future interruptions for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. Right? And then he goes on and says, for I will forgive their weakness, and I will remember their sins no more. Right? You need to be right to tell you this. I don't know where your 2018 has been. I haven't been here, some of us have been hard. Tough things have happened in 2018. You have a choice. You can carry that all over into 2019. Or you can take whatever pen moments you had and whatever great moments you had, and you can say, I know the Father. I know what he's like. So I know that 2019 doesn't have to be like 2018. And if 2018 was great, I know my Father well enough to know that 2019 might be tough. Because we do not serve God who just makes everything great. He makes it great after he allows for tough things. So he may allow this 2019 to be tough. And I wish that that wasn't necessarily true for you, but I know that it's the tough moments that help grow us the most, right? This kid doesn't come to his senses unless he's where? He didn't come to his senses when he had all the money, and he didn't come to his senses when he had all the people, and things were going well. He didn't come to his senses when he was in the pig pen and he was longing for pots. So I'm smart enough, unlike some other people that are out there who think that they would never be like the prodigal son. I've been the prodigal son, and I could be it again. I'm smart enough to know that, so I'm smart enough to know that God's going to allow tough moments. Why? Because it's the only thing that makes me correct him to his senses. Because otherwise, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to stand up here and say, look at what I built. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. Somebody in 2018 is saying that right now, and their 2019 is going to be beautiful. Because when you stand up and you say to the God of heaven, look at what I built. Look at what I did. You immediately challenge him. And he'll meet that challenge. And so he will systematically try to attempt you. Attempt to get you to understand that it wasn't just you who built this. We work with God, we don't work for him. He didn't tell you to fix your neighbor, he didn't tell you to fix your husband, he didn't tell you to fix your wife, he didn't tell you to fix your kids. He said, I'm working in your neighbor, I'm working in your husband, I'm working in your wife, I'm working in your kids and your boss and everybody else. Sure. God has selective forgetfulness. My prayer for our church is that going into 2019, in the next few days, you will choose to have selective forgiveness. That whatever's happening in 2018, you will choose to use his turning to the Father, not wait for him. That you will not ask him for all of his stuff so you can live your way. But that you will remember who he is. That you will just lean in on who he is. So the reason that Bruce is that, hey, I need prayer because I'm getting ready to travel is because he knows who his Father. The reason that we can pray for birth, a childbirth today, is because we know who our Father is. The reason we can pray for new marching orders when ours is done, so let me throw Claire under the bus, right? I thought about Claire a lot this week. It said this, Claire finished her mission, did she not? Did she not take care of her parents well?
She did.
For a lot of years, Claire took care of her parents well. She finished that part of her mission of who she's working with. So we all are teaming up with Claire for love. What's the next mission? Where is God working that he's going to ask Claire to join him? And that works the same way with all. Where's your mission? How can we team up with you? And when you complete the mission, what's the next one? God does not believe in eternity. If you're breathing, he has something that he wants you to do. Do it again. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that you have the ability to take a bunch of words and bring them in and make sense of them. So Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do that this morning. Lord, that you would take the words that I have said and Lord, that you would somehow make sense of them so that we might have our heart. Lord, we're thankful for the year 2018. The ups, the downs, the ugly moments, the good moments, and just the plain old bad moments. Because Lord, all of them have the potential to draw us closer to you. So Lord, as a church, we say thank you because we are closer to you at the end of 2018 than we were at the beginning. And we ask that same thing for 2019. We get excited about what you're going to do. Amen. Let me do one more announcement. And that is this. Starting next week, we're going to flip something in our service. So I have said it every year that I've been here, and we're probably going to do it, which is prayer is important. We can't expect God to show up and do something unless we ask him to show up and do something. So we're going to flip our prayer time, and it is going to be the very first thing we do. So at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 10, 10 to 10, 15, or wherever those numbers are, we're going to pray first. So know that when you're walking in. You know, those of you who like to be late, know that we're going to pray. We're going to be praying in an atmosphere of prayer, and then we're going to get into our service. But we're going to commit to doing that, which I said we're doing. It hasn't worked trying to do it at 10 times or 10 out of time. It hasn't worked trying to do it at the time. So I'm coming here in service. We're going to do it in the service. And I'm excited about what we're going to do that. So. Yes, so Ladies Bible Study will be Wednesday night, too.
We're going to close with